these sacred words from Luke chapter 2, perhaps the most familiar and beloved of the tellings of the story of Jesus' birth. We'll start with the first verse and go through verse 20. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. How about a word for all the rest of us? First of all, though, I should probably explain that I've reached this age and still love Christmas. No matter what else I may say tonight, don't forget that I said that. Our recent out-of-town company and any who have come by our house during the season would attest Elizabeth and I decorate our house and we make it a magical place most years. We love the energy, the colors, the sights and sounds, the feel and the tradition of the season. There's a little bit of kid in me about the whole thing that life and time and disappointments and hardships still has not dulled completely. Nowhere close. Christmas, as some call it, is a busy season. It's just full of activity here, there, and everywhere. It can be loud and frenetic and downright weird at times. You know, it seems to start earlier and earlier every year. There are sightings reported of Christmas displays in stores before Halloween again this year. Friendly and some not so friendly discussions ensued in social media as to whether it was okay to listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving. Was it okay to decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving or only after? Certain television network that I used as an illustration extensively in a sermon recently debuted 40 debatably new Christmas movies this season alone. Then the Black Friday discussion started up. Do you go? Do you not go? I know one family of ladies who get a t-shirt printed up every year. They have name tags and they put it all on Thanksgiving Day as they head out to shop into the night. I can still remember a wrestling match a few years ago that made national news one Black Friday. Two customers had arrived at the same store and were after the elusive $30 DVD player. The store was down to only one of them, and apparently both ladies put their hands on the DVD box at the same time. There were two women rolling around in the floor, fighting it out over a DVD player, pulling each other's hair, punching. One manager of a big box electronics store said this year that he has finally seen at least the violent tussles over televisions and pressure cookers and the like ratchet down a little. His theory is that online shopping and early online starts to Black Friday have spread out the options for how people can get what they are so desperately after. Well, that's Christmas and the lead up to it. But what about Advent? This night marks the culmination of the season. For truly, in our faith and in our spiritual beings, Christmas starts tomorrow. The season the church marks each year in anticipation of the Savior's birth is Advent. And for the last several weeks now, we've been taking a most intentional journey toward the celebration that tomorrow marks. So how about a word for the rest of us? Not just those who don't even leave the house on Thanksgiving to shop. I'm talking about those of us who move to a little quieter beat anyway. Those who tend to think on things and consider them before they speak up, if they speak up. Who tend to take in the information, the conversation, the surprise, and we think of what we should have said 10 minutes later after everyone has already walked away. Or some whose friends and even family members occasionally chide for thinking a little too much. This is a busy story we just heard from Luke chapter 2. I love it dearly. But there's a lot of movement, and that may just not be where your heart is this Advent and Christmas season. Think about it. In Luke chapter 2, the scene we just heard starts out at the palace in Rome, where the emperor issues a decree that all citizens in every region should come home and register in a census, go to their hometowns. And with absolutely no choice then, we switch to Joseph and Mary, an expectant Mary, who traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem because he was descended from the house and lineage of David, and he needed to go there and register. And there is a hopeful sign dropped right into the story for all of us to latch onto and consider in light of what Dawn read just a few minutes ago. But you don't just drive over to town and sign in and run back home in a time like that. Soon we are now at the inn, for they need a place to stay a night or two, but where instead there is no room. However, there is a baby who decides that this is the time to be born. A holy child who has already been announced and anticipated, and now he's here. He'll have to be put in a feeding trough, or at least a low dug out place where the animals are, because as we mentioned, there is no room. But now we're out of town, we're in the fields. The group who are traveling to the Holy Land this spring, 18 of our church members, are going to be taken to the traditional site of the shepherds tending their flocks by night in this story. And suddenly a messenger of God appeared out of nowhere, just popped up right there in the field, and I don't know about you, but that would have caught me off guard in a big way. The messenger or angel told them not to be afraid, that there was good news of great joy. For unto them, some of the least noticed and least appreciated people in an already humble part of the world, to them, a Messiah, the Lord, had been born. Now, oddly, these rural and poor shepherds who weren't given to just running up to Walmart or Tractor Supply every day decide to go into town now because they are compelled by something stronger than their normal, usual preferences, their daily routines. A special child has been announced, and they need to see this for themselves, the story says. So off they go, and they find Joseph and Mary and the child right there, just like they've been told. Then back the shepherds went to their own little community near the field, and they told everyone they could find about what had happened and what they had seen and heard themselves. And you know what happened back at home? People who rarely paid any attention to these lowly shepherds who toiled out in the fields listened and were amazed at what they heard. That's a busy story. Lots of movement and traveling and heavenly beings popping up and finding and hearing and being surprised and almost afraid. And in an odd sort of way, doesn't it match up with the last few days or maybe even weeks that some of us have lived as we go here and there and everywhere and do all the things we do in our modern Christmas month-long celebration? We're lost in the middle of it. Lost in the middle of a story from our sacred word is something that I find so compelling and so necessary, so endearing and so instructive. It's Mary. Mary, just silently, wisely beyond her years, takes it all in and ponders these things in her heart. If Christmas sometimes gets to be a bit much for you, or even if every busy, scheduled, frenetic moment of it makes you happy, I still have a word for the rest of us. Actually, for all of us. For if we let this Advent and Christmas close out, and we tuck all the ornaments and decorations away, haul the tree out to the street or into the woods, and move right on to a new year, and don't connect with Mary at least for a brief season, get quiet, stop, ponder these things that have happened with Christ our Lord. Notice the true wonder of the season in that while we were still sinners, Jesus came to live among us, heal and instruct us, and eventually die for us. If we don't stop for a moment and catch on to the grace that we mark in this season every single year with a deep sense of gratitude in our souls, well, then we may have actually missed Christmas, and maybe for yet another year, because God didn't have to do it. God didn't have to do a bit of it. And that's why we're here. It's why we're here tonight, because just like any Christmas present that you may open tomorrow or in the season that no one had to give you, God didn't have to do this. Didn't have to give us Jesus Christ. Now, I don't pretend to know what all was on Mary's mind, what all she was pondering, but I do know that she's sitting quietly right in the middle of this whole busy picture that moves so quickly from scene to scene, and she's not saying a word. She's pondering, wondering, praying. Wouldn't be the worst thing for you or me to try. Might make our Christmas merry and bright. I hope so. And while I'm at it, I wish you all a Merry Christmas. Sweet.